Imagine waking up tomorrow and, realizing that a literal toddler has been making your financial, romantic, and career decisions for the last 20
I
years.
mean, you would probably panic.
Right. You would want to wrest control back immediately. But biologically speaking, for most of us, that is exactly what is happening every single day.
It sounds like a massive exaggeration, I know. But when we actually look at the neurology of human behavior, the numbers are just staggering. Stem cell biologist Dr. Bruce Lipton points out that a massive 95% of our daily behavior is dictated entirely by the subconscious mind.
Which is wild.
Right. And the conscious mind, so the part of you holding the intentions, the desires, those goals you set on January 1st, that part is only at the wheel 5% of the time.
Okay, let's unpack this because this completely upends the traditional self-help model we've all been fed.
Oh, absolutely.
We have all been sold this idea that if you just like read enough books or watch enough inspiring videos and use enough willpower, you can change your life.
And then you put in the work,
Yeah.
but nothing changes.
Exactly. And then you inevitably blame yourself for lacking discipline. So today we are taking a deep dive into the actual mechanics of the subconscious mind. We are looking at clinical insights, Dr. Lipton's extensive research, and the application of cognitive reframing techniques.
Including the magnetic mind method, which is used by certified practitioners like Greg Jones.
Yes, exactly. Our mission is to extract the grounded science-backed truth about how our mental programming actually works, and more importantly, how to permanently rewrite it.
Because that disconnect between our desires and our outcomes is exactly why people develop a victim mentality.
Oh, for sure. If you do not understand the underlying biological mechanism of how the brain operates, you just assume the universe is stacked against you.
Right. But discipline is rarely the issue here. To understand why your willpower fails, we actually have to look at the energy economics of the brain. So the human brain makes up about 2% of our body weight, but it consumes roughly 20% of our energy.
That's a huge proportion.
It is. Conscious thought, like critical analysis, learning, future planning, it is incredibly energy intensive.
So the brain basically has an evolutionary incentive to automate as much as possible just
And
to,
save energy, yeah.
right, just to save energy.
Precisely why the subconscious exists is this highly efficient, rigid stimulus response database.
I mean, if we had to consciously process every single action, like how to balance on 2 feet, or how to articulate words, or even digest our food, our brains would just overload.
Exactly. We would exhaust our energy stores instantly. The subconscious runs those fundamental programs so the conscious mind can be free to think.
Dr. Lipton uses a brilliant analogy for this division of labor. Imagine your conscious mind is a driver holding the steering wheel of a car.
Right. So as long as you are actively focusing on the road, you are heading exactly where you want to go.
You are driving toward your goals. But the conscious mind has a unique energy-intensive ability, which is that it can time travel. It can project into the future or recall the past.
And the moment you start worrying about what you're going to say in a meeting next week or dwelling on an argument you had last week, your conscious mind turns inward.
It lets go of the steering wheel.
But the car does not crash.
No, because the second you let go, your subconscious autopilot instantly takes over to keep you driving without you even noticing. You arrive at your destination and realize you don't even remember the last 10 minutes of the trip.
Yeah, we have all experienced that highway hypnosis. But here is the biological catch that sort of ruins our best intentions.
Right.
When that autopilot takes over, which remember is 95% of your day, it does not drive toward your conscious goals. It defaults to the specific route it is stored in its database.
So you can educate your conscious mind all you want.
Exactly. You can memorize every self-help strategy, but the underlying operating system driving the car remains exactly the same.
Which brings us to the rather terrifying question of origin. If this autopilot is running the show 95% of the time, well, who programmed its map?
Right. To answer that, we have to look at the neurodevelopment of the human brain. From the last trimester of pregnancy until about age 7, a child's brain does not operate in the active, analytical, beta brainwave frequencies that we adults use for conscious thought.
It's slower.
Yeah, heaps slower. It operates primarily in slower oscillation frequencies, specifically delta and theta.
And theta, which hovers around 4 to 8 hertz, is essentially a hypnagogic state.
Spot on. It is the exact same brainwave frequency hypnotherapists use to bypass a client's critical filter.
Because nature designed the first 7 years of life this way out of pure necessity.
Right. A child needs to rapidly download how to be a functional member of a complex family and culture. they do not have the time or the developed prefrontal cortex to logically evaluate the rules of society.
They just absorb it.
Yeah, they simply act as a recording device. They observe their parents, their siblings, their community, and they record those behaviors directly into the subconscious baseline.
Okay, wait, I have to challenge the utility of this biological setup, though.
Go for it.
If the critical faculty, that prefrontal gatekeeper, is totally offline during those early years, we are just absorbing our environment raw. Like, we were literal toddlers recording adult anxieties without any context.
Oh, absolutely.
So if we are running our adult lives on someone else's unexamined software and we cannot even remember installing it, aren't we just stuck guessing what our invisible blocks are?
Well, it feels really daunting until you realize you do not actually need to dig through decades of childhood memories to find the bad code.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dr. Lipton offers a very grounded, practical way to audit your subconscious, because your current life is simply a printout of your subconscious programs.
Okay, I want to ask the listener to actively participate in this right now. Think about your own life as you are listening to this.
Yeah. What is the one area that flows easily for you?
Maybe you are naturally gifted at making friends, or you have a really resilient relationship with your health. Whatever comes without immense friction is an area where you downloaded a supportive subconscious program.
But now think about the area you are just white-knuckling your way through, the goal you sweat over, the pattern you keep repeating, you know, the thing that always feels like pushing a boulder uphill.
And that friction you are feeling isn't a sign that you are broken or that the goal is impossible?
Not at all. That friction is simply your 5% conscious desire going to war with your 95% subconscious programming. And psychologists note that about 60 to 70% of the programs downloaded during childhood are disempowering, limiting, or self-sabotaging.
Wow. 60 to 70%.
Yeah. If you observe parents who struggled with money, or who believe life was relentlessly hard, or who reacted to stress with chronic anxiety, you downloaded those exact beliefs as fundamental biological truths about how the world works.
That is a huge majority of our programming actively working against our conscious desires, and there is a massive physiological cost to that internal war, isn't there?
Massive. The clinical data suggests that up to 90% of illness is driven by the stress of running these negative programs.
Because your biology is constantly reacting to the invisible stress of an operating system that constantly tells you the environment is unsafe.
Exactly. Your nervous system is continuously bathing your cells in stress hormones because the 95% autopilot perceives a threat, even while your 5% conscious mind is, you know, trying to practice gratitude.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Before we talk about intentionally fixing this code, the neurobiology actually reveals a natural glitch in the system.
Yeah, an exception to the rule.
Right. There is a time when we naturally break free from this programming without even trying. The research calls it taking the red pill, much like escaping the matrix.
And in real life, that red pill is the experience of falling in love.
He does not necessarily have to be romantic love, though.
Right? No, though that is the most dramatic example. It could be falling in love with a new creative endeavor, a passion project, or an entirely new environment.
But when you enter that state, the experience is so captivating, so neurologically stimulating, that your conscious mind actually stops time traveling.
It stops worrying about tomorrow's deadlines or regretting yesterday's mistakes. For the first time, your conscious mind stays firmly rooted in the present moment.
And because your conscious mind finally has its hands tightly on the steering wheel, you are operating entirely from your wishes, desires, and aspirations.
Right. Dr. Lipton calls this the honeymoon effect. It is why people in new relationships suddenly have boundless energy, their chronic pain diminishes, and everything just feels effortless.
You have temporarily bypassed the old subconscious programs.
You have. But the honeymoon inevitably ends.
And people often assume the magic just naturally dies out or that their partner changed. But the biology tells a completely different story.
Yeah, the brain simply cannot sustain the energetic cost of keeping the conscious mind 100% present indefinitely. Life demands planning. You know, you have to pay bills, manage chores, schedule appointments.
A moment life gets complicated, your conscious mind has to start time traveling again to solve problems.
But let's go with the steering wheel.
And the second it goes inward to calculate next month's rent, the autopilot resumes control. Suddenly, you react to your partner with a defensive tone you haven't used in months.
They ask why you are acting like that, and you have no idea what they mean, because your conscious mind wasn't observing the behavior.
You were just playing a tape you downloaded from a stressed parent when you were 4 years old.
Exactly. That mechanism perfectly explains why relationships or new habits suddenly hit a wall of friction after that initial bliss.
because we cannot rely on the intense stimulation of new love to keep us in the present moment forever.
Right. We have to look at how to permanently update the software so it matches our conscious desires, even when we're on autopilot.
Let's get into the actionable neuroscience of reprogramming. The subconscious is a habit mind, right? It fiercely resists change because change requires energy.
Yes, but there are three specific evidence-based avenues to rewrite the code. The first is returning to the exact brainwave state where the programs were originally installed, which is hypnosis.
You are looking to replicate that theta state, and you do not necessarily need a hypnotherapist to do this, do you?
Not at all. Every night, as you fall asleep, your brain naturally transitions through the EEG frequencies. As you move from the active beta state down through relaxed alpha, just before you drop into the deep unconsciousness of delta sleep, you pass through the theta window.
It's like pushing an over-the-air firmware update to your phone at 2 a.m. while the main operating system is asleep.
I love that analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
If you put earphones on with a guided program or specific affirmations right as you drift off, that information bypasses the critical conscious mind entirely.
It feeds directly into the programmable subconscious baseline.
Exactly. Now, the second avenue is habituation. This is the biological mechanism of learning after age 7. It is how you master the alphabet or learn to ride a bike.
It relies on a neuroplasticity principle known as Hebb's Law, right? Neurons that fire together are wired together.
Spot on.
So the old self-help advice of faking it until you
make it. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. It actually has neurological backing.
Yeah.
Just brute forcing a new habit through repetition literally changes the brain.
It does. But we have to be really honest about the realistic timelines for this kind of change.
Because it takes far longer than the mythical 21 days often quoted in pop psychology.
Oh, heaps longer. When you try to form a new habit, it feels like a massive struggle because your old subconscious programs are heavily myelinated. Myelin is a fatty sheath that wraps around neural pathways, acting like insulation on a wire.
So an old negative habit is like a high-speed, multi-lane motorway. The electrical signal travels instantly.
Yeah.
But the new positive habit you are trying to build is like an unpaved dirt road in the jungle.
Exactly the right visual. The brain will always prefer the motorway because it uses less energy. When you start repeating a new behavior like saying, I am safe when your body feels anxious, you are manually hacking away at that dirt road.
And the subconscious fiercely fights it.
It does. But through daily disciplined repetition, the brain starts myelinating the new pathway and pruning the old one. Once the new pathway becomes the thicker, faster route, habituation kicks in.
The subconscious adopts it as the new normal and will actually alert you if you stop doing it.
Right.
That reframes the struggle entirely. The resistance we feel when trying to change isn't a sign of failure. It is just the brain doing its job of protecting its energy-efficient, myelinated habits until the new pathway is fully cemented.
Exactly. Now, habituation requires immense willpower. And there's a third way mentioned, a tremendous emotional shock, like a trauma or a health crisis, which shatters the old programming instantly.
But we're obviously not seeking out trauma to heal. We want to avoid relying on crisis for growth.
Fortunately, there is a much faster, evidence-based avenue to rewrite the system without trauma and without months of repetitive struggle.
Right. This is the domain of energy psychology and belief change modalities, which practitioners often refer to as super learning. This encompasses practices like clinical hypnotherapy, EFT or tapping, and structured frameworks like the Magnetic Mind Method's Superconscious Recode Protocol.
Which is really powerful.
But the idea of changing a 50-year-old belief in a matter of minutes sounds a bit like magic. We need to explain the actual biological mechanism happening here. How does tapping on your collarbone or doing a recode process rewrite deeply myelinated neural pathways?
It all comes down to forced brain synchronization. On a normal day, our left and right brain hemispheres are rarely fully synchronized. They operate somewhat independently depending on whether we are doing an analytical or spatial task.
Okay.
Many of these super learning modalities use a technique called bilateral stimulation.
So crossing the body's midline.
Yes. When you cross your arms, tap specific meridian points on opposite sides of your body, or engaging guided eye movements, you force electrical signals to cross the corpus callosum.
Which is the thick band of nerve fibers bridging the left and right hemispheres.
Exactly. This bilateral stimulation essentially pauses the amygdala, which is the brain's threat detection center.
Ah, so by pausing the fight or flight response, the brain drops its defensive walls and enters a brief window of extreme neuroplasticity.
In that highly synchronized window, the subconscious mind is wide open. A limiting belief like, say, I am not worthy of success, can be brought up and overwritten without the amygdala triggering a stress response.
You are effectively reconsolidating the memory or the belief without the emotional charge attached to it.
Exactly. And this isn't just theory. Neuroscientist Jeff Fannin provides incredible evidence of this mechanism using 3D brain mapping.
Right. He places EEG wires on a person's head and maps their brainwave activity while they focus on a limiting belief or a phobia.
And the brain map lights up with chaotic, asymmetrical stress patterns. Then a practitioner guides them through one of these energy psychology processes.
The results are immediate and visible, aren't they?
They are. The audience can watch the electrical frequencies of the brain synchronizing on the screen in real time. The moment the new supportive belief is installed, the brain map shifts into a coherent, balanced state.
They test the phobia immediately after, and the physiological fear response is simply gone.
The biology has entirely changed in minutes.
So, what does this all mean? Let's ground this cutting-edge science with the story of the man who literally wrote the book on it, because even Dr. Lipton struggled with his own programming.
Yeah, he spent 15 years trying to write his groundbreaking book, The Biology of Belief.
Every time he got halfway through, the project would mysteriously stall out.
He assumed he just had severe writer's block. But when he applied the life audit to his own friction, he realized his subconscious was terrified.
Because at the time, he was a highly respected conventional scientist.
Mm-hmm.
His 5% conscious mind desperately wanted to write a book bridging the gap between rigorous cellular biology and quantum physics.
But his 95% subconscious mind ran a deeply myelinated program that essentially said, if you publish this, your scientific peers will shun you. It will destroy your career and your livelihood.
So the subconscious was just doing its job.
It viewed that book as a literal threat to his survival. So operating the controls for most of the day, his autopilot actively sabotaged his writing process to keep him safe from the perceived threat of the scientific community.
But once he identified that invisible block, he used a belief change modality to achieve brain synchronization and rewrite that specific fear.
He updated the firmware.
He reprogrammed his subconscious to align with his conscious desire to share his research. And once the internal war was over, the book flowed out of him in just a few months.
It proves that when your subconscious operating system is finally aligned with your conscious goals, you do not have to rely on the limited battery power of willpower anymore.
You do not have to struggle.
No, you don't. That is the ultimate paradigm shift offered by this research and by practitioners like Greg Jones who utilize these methods. We spend so much of our lives fighting ourselves, trying to force our biology to do something it has been explicitly programmed against.
True healing, whether it is physical, emotional, or financial, becomes infinitely easier when the conscious and subconscious minds are finally reading from the same script.
Exactly.
So to briefly recap our journey today, you are not a victim of a hostile universe.
Not at all.
You are simply operating on outdated, inherited software 95% of the time. The friction you feel is just the clash between what you consciously want and what your nervous system was programmed to expect.
But by using targeted, biologically grounded techniques, like recreating the theta state through hypnosis, forcing neuroplastic adaptation through habituation, or rapidly updating the system through energy psychology and superconscious recodes, we can literally rewrite our own code.
It removes the mystery of self-sabotage and places the power to heal back entirely in your own hands.
Absolutely.
Now, to leave you with a final thought today, the neuroscientific data shows that a primary function of the human mind is to create coherence between our internal beliefs and our external reality.
Your brain's ultimate job is to ensure that the outside world matches your inside programming.
So if your mind is always working tirelessly to prove your deeply held beliefs true, take a look around you right now. Look at the persistent friction points in your life. Ask yourself, what hidden, deeply buried belief is your current reality working overtime to prove true right now?
That is a profound question to sit with.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep questioning the code.